Good morning. Great to be together and with the body of Christ and to come and to look into God's scripture. There's just something, such a blessing when God's people congregate together. There's just a special blessing, isn't there? And we're so grateful that we can come together and do that. This morning, I'll ask you to please go with me to Acts chapter 8 as we conclude this chapter. If you remember last week, we talked about a man named Simon that confessed to believe in Jesus. And we learned that his heart was exposed and he really didn't put his faith in Jesus at all. But rather, he was looking at how he can move ahead in his life and how he can gain more magic. He was a man that was into sorcery. His name was Simon. And we saw that his heart was exposed. And you'll find that in time, a person will begin to reveal their heart. And Simon exposed himself. And if you remember verse 19, that Simon said in chapter 8 of Acts, he said to Peter, he said, "Give me this power also that anyone whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And it says in verse 18 that he offered them money. Can you imagine that? And Peter saw that when it came to Simon, that his heart was not right with God. So he says in verse 20, Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money." He says, you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. So we learn that Simon was one of those believers that was a temporary believer. We learn about the four soils that Jesus talks about. And three of those folks, we learn that they do not produce any fruit. The first one is the one that falls on the stony ground or the pathway. And then the second one falls among those who are filled with weeds. And the other one with the stony ground, the shallow ground. But there is one that the seed of the word falls upon the heart that is sincere. And this morning we're going to be looking at that in verses 26 all the way to verse 40. Luke is a historian, but here we learn that he gives us a contrast of a man named Simon who pretended that he wanted to know about the Lord and walk with the Lord. But then we have a picture of an Ethiopian whose heart was sincere and he was a sincere believer, a sincere seeker of the living God. So this morning I just want to encourage you and ask yourself, am I a sincere seeker of the Lord? Are you seeking the Lord today? And I hope you are. I hope you're here for a reason. I hope you're not here because of tradition, but I hope that you're here because you want God to speak to your heart. I know I do. And God does through His Scripture. Let's read through this passage and then we'll go right into it. It says in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.' So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near, overtake the chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?'" Verse 31. "And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who would declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. This is a fantastic time, isn't it? Well, let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Dear Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we just see your sovereign grace, dear Father, when we see Philip being led and this man being saved. And Father, I just pray that you would use us. Help us to be your messengers. Help us to be used, dear Father. Lord, what a joy must have filled Philip's heart. And what a joy of this Ethiopian who had been seeking you and had found you. Lord, I just pray that you would please speak to our hearts this morning. And Father, I pray that you would just put it in our hearts and minds, dear God. Lord, the only way to live this life is by serving Christ. And Lord, you have called us to serve you and to be ministers. And I ask that you would now, dear Father, do a great work in our hearts and our minds. And I ask your blessing now upon this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember a young man I used to work with. His name was Stuart. And Stuart and I used to work at the same school. And we would teach ESL, English as a Second Language, and we had a blast. Now, Stuart was a Jewish young man. And I remember talking to Stuart about Christ. In fact, I remember talking to different co-workers, and some of them put their trust in Christ. And now it was Stuart's turn. But Stuart, he didn't want to hear about Jesus. And I remember talking to him, and I was really sad because he just didn't want to hear it. But there was another man from the same seminary. These are different guys from seminaries. Came, and this one young man spoke to Stuart. Talked to him about Jesus. And the same thing, Stuart didn't want to believe in Christ. And so he said, wait, Stuart, let me read this passage to you. And it was this exact same passage from Isaiah chapter 53. And here, it's verse 7 and 8. And he began to read this passage. And he said, "Stuart, I want you to tell me who you think this is talking about." And Stuart said, "Oh, that must be one of your New Testament prophets or something. That sounds like Jesus. That must be one of your New Testament." He goes, "No, Stuart, I'm reading out of Isaiah 53. And you know what Stuart said? "What? I never heard that before." And that scripture began to lead Stuart to the Lord. It's a powerful passage. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And so we learn here that here is Philip, a man sincere in his faith. He goes to Samaria, fulfilling the Great Commission, and he begins to preach the gospel, and the Samaritans begin to listen to him, and there's a revival in Samaria. And then we learn that Peter and John are sent to Samaria, and they begin to pray over those believers, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's a wonderful time. But in the midst of all this, Luke shared with us this one man named Simon who claimed to believe in Jesus for a while, but after a while he began to show his true colors, that he did not truly surrender his life to Christ because there was no transformation. And a believer, a person that truly believes in Jesus Christ, there's going to be a transformed life. There's going to be repentance of an old life, and they're going to live a new life. The Bible says, "For we become new creatures." And that, isn't that what Paul says? He says that all things have become new. And so we learn that this man was not a new creation, a new creature, but rather he was still the same old Simon. And what he was after is basically the black magic. And yet he didn't understand that this was a power of God through the gospel. Well, this morning I want us to look at a sincere man, an Ethiopian. And I want you to see how this man accepts the Lord. I want you to see the difference. In verses 26 to 29, let me just give you the outline here. We see the direction from the Lord. In verse 26 to 29, in verses 30 to 35, we see the discussion about the Lord. And finally, we see in verses 36 to 40, the desire to follow the Lord. So that's the outline we're going to be looking at this morning. The direction from the Lord, the discussion about the Lord, and the desire to follow the Lord. And that's what you see here with this man, this Ethiopian, that's come to seek God. So let's look at this together. Look at verses 26 to 29. One thing that's so beautiful about being a Christian and loving the Lord is God guides us. He guides us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Word. He gives us godly counsel. And you know what? We can be safe. Look at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, "Arise! Go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza in this desert." Now what's interesting about this is Philip is busy. Man, this is super busy. There's a revival going on. He could have said, "Lord, don't you realize I'm out here, I'm busy, I'm discipling." But he doesn't question the Lord. There's the old saying, you want something done? Ask a busy man. Ask a busy man and it'll get done. And that was Philip. He was on fire for the Lord and he was going out and he was evangelizing. And the Lord says, "Philip, I'm going to take you from Samaria, take you 20 miles down southwest to Gaza." You can imagine Philip is kind of scratching his head like, what's going on? He doesn't question the Lord. But the Lord takes him right down there and he runs into a man that's been seeking after God. Look at verse 27. So he arose and went. There's no discussion. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace. Candace, by the way, was a common name like Pharaoh or Abimelech. In charge of all her treasury. This man was a secretary of the treasury. And he had come to Jerusalem to do what? The man traveled over 200 miles to go and to worship God. Do you think he was seeking after God? You better believe it. He wanted to know the Lord. And it's believed that he was a proselyte. But because he was a eunuch, they called him a proselyte at the gate. He couldn't go in where the men would worship because of being a eunuch. We're not going to get into that. 28. And it says that he was returning. These are imperfects. He was continuously returning and sitting and he was reading. And it's amazing that he was not taking the main road, but rather he was taking a side road. It's believed because he wanted to read. He didn't want to be disturbed. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. He might have purchased that in Jerusalem. And according to the text, we see that this is not the Masoretic Hebrew, but rather it is the Septuagint. It is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Because some of the words are a little bit different. But you can tell this is a Septuagint. They call it the LXX. And so we learn that he's reading through this and he's seeking the Lord. And the Lord is the one that's giving direction to Philip. He was using Philip as an evangelist to the Samaritans. Now he had a special task for Philip, for a special individual. And God in His sovereignty was directing Philip. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if this eunuch, maybe he prayed to God, said, "God, will you guide me? Would you please help me? Because I don't understand." I truly believe that Philip was an answer to prayer. And God brings him along. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. Would you just write across the page if you have a Bible like mine? Another man was directed. His name was Ananias. Remember that? We learned that the Lord appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And the Lord blinded him. And we learned that Saul had been praying for 3 days. And so he took Ananias and said, "Ananias, I want you to go and meet this man Saul." Look at Acts chapter 9 verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Now, what does Ananias do? Does he get up and just go? Ananias says, Lord, this man's a killer. He has some reservations. Now, he's not doing anything wrong. He's just saying, Lord, are you sure? Saul of Tarsus, remember? Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints and in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on his name. But the Lord said to him, what? Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. See, God had a plan for Saul, just like he had a plan for this Ethiopian. This man was going into a land that was famished for the word of God. He was going to take this leader and use him mightily. And God said to Philip, go and talk to this man. You know, I believe God is sovereign in each one of our lives. When it comes to salvation, God has his own custom-made plan, doesn't he? His own custom-made plan. He knows, he has that key that opens our heart, you know. There's a wonderful song that says, Oh Lord of love, you have won my heart. I hope the Lord has won your heart. And we learn here that God has a very special plan for this Ethiopian and a very special plan for Philip. And they are both blessed by the Lord, one being used by God as a messenger and the other one as a receiver, not only of the message, but of the gift of salvation. Philip was already serving the Lord. He was busy in Samaria. He was on fire. So God directed him and gave Philip the honor to win, according to the New Testament, the first Gentile convert recorded here in the New Testament. You know why? Because Philip was available. Do you remember the book of Isaiah? We just talked about that this morning. In Isaiah chapter 6, go with me there. In Isaiah chapter 6, we learn that in Isaiah, that the king of Israel had died and he was the king for 50 years. And Isaiah was very discouraged at this time. He needed the Lord to speak to him, so the Lord gave him a vision. And the vision was of the Lord himself sitting on his throne, high and lifted up, and the angels crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so Isaiah, when he saw that, he was so frightened because he knew he was a sinful man. But one of the angels took the tongs and took the coal and put it up to his lips and purged him of his sin. But I want you to see something else here. That's a whole different sermon there. But I want you to see in Isaiah chapter 6, look at verse 8. The reason why God gave Isaiah this vision and purged him of his sin is because God has a plan for him. But God wants to make sure that Isaiah wants to do it. So it says here in verse 8, Isaiah records this. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Talking about the house of Israel, specifically the southern kingdom. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, what does Isaiah say? Here am I. Send me. Lord, here I am. Send me, Lord. I want to be your servant. And this is the heart of every true believer that wants to serve God and wants to be used by God. We have to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. I will be your messenger. I will be your representative. And God calls us, beloved. He calls us to be his representatives. The word Christian itself means little Christ. And so the Lord is calling Isaiah, and he says, you know what? They'll hear, but they won't perceive. They'll see, but they won't perceive. They'll hear, but they will not understand. Why? Because their hearts were dull. You know, Isaiah, he had a very tough task. He had to go preach the gospel and preach the word of God to men whose hearts were hardened. And we learned that was judgment on Israel. But someday that veil will be lifted. But I just want you to know that God has his messengers. And Philip was so blessed. You ever wonder, you know, if God is sovereign and he has his angels, why doesn't he just send his angels to go and preach the gospel? You know why? Because that's been given to men. He wants to use us to be his messengers. And you know what? What a privilege it is. I've gone to go and knock on doors, and you know what? I would knock on doors, and there might not be one single person that would even listen. But I'm still blessed. Do you know why? Because I know I'm being obedient to the Lord. And for that very reason, beloved, we have to be sharing the gospel. For the very simple reason, it is obedience to God. And that's why we have to learn that. And we have to share the gospel. We must be obedient. And here was Philip, a man busy sharing the gospel, discipling, and God takes him 20 miles down to share the gospel with this one man. Now, go back with me to Acts chapter 8. What kind of man was he? We see in verse 27, he was an Ethiopian. Today we say an African-American, but he didn't live in America, so we can't call him that. He's an Ethiopian. He was a eunuch. That means that they had to emasculate the poor man. Very possibly. He had great authority under Candace. He was her secretary of treasure. So the man had everything he could wish for. But in the midst of all this, this man was a proselyte of Judaism, so he went up 200 miles to worship in Jerusalem. And he was coming back home through the Gaza Strip, and some of you know where that's at. You just have to watch the news. Returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading, sitting, and by the way, in those days, whenever you read, it was part of the custom that you always read out loud. In fact, the rabbis say that they should read the scripture out loud for them to memorize it. So even the custom with Israel and even from the Middle East, it was customary to read out loud. And here he was reading out loud. Look at verse 29. And the Spirit of the Lord says to Philip, Go near and overtake the chariot. So they may have been going at it just a snail's pace, you know. And there's Philip. He runs up to him. Some says he even probably jumped on the running board. It doesn't say that, so who knows. And he could hear him out loud reading the prophet Isaiah. And I love this, you know. And here's the thing that you and I have to work on. How do we talk about spiritual things? Well, this was already set up for him. The man's reading Isaiah 53. I mean, what a setup. So he's reading Isaiah 53, and then Philip goes up to him and says, do you understand what you're reading? And the man is sincere. He says in verse 31, how can I? Unless someone guides me. And he asks Philip to come up and sit with him. Wow, what a setup. This is like fruit on the bottom branch, you know. You can just pluck it right from the branch. So it says here, come up and sit with him. It says that he came up and he sat with him. And here's the passage. And we know who this is talking about, right? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now you have to understand that the popular rabbinic teaching of the day was that this was talking about Israel. That this was talking about the suffering of Israel. Some say that even there is another teaching that this is talking about the prophet Isaiah himself. But we know that what this is a messianic passage. A messianic passage talking about Jesus. The one that John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so when Philip came up to this man and heard this man read, And then the eunuch says in verse 34, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, to whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? I can imagine Philip with a big smile. Well, let me tell you about that. Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus. This is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the strongest, just like my friend Stuart. Someone read this passage to him and he knew. Isn't that amazing? When Stuart, my friend, heard this passage read to him, he knew this was talking about Jesus and him crucified. And he did not realize that this was his own Old Testament prophet Isaiah speaking to the children of Israel. And there is no way he could have gotten away from the fact that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. There's no way he could have gotten away from that. And so we learn here, beloved, that Philip now began to share with his Ethiopian eunuch about the sacrifice, the substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. There are many passages. There's Psalm 22 that talks about a Roman cross. Almost 1,000 years, or at least 800 years before Rome even existed. And so we see here that there are many passages, even in the book of Daniel, where it says that the Messiah will be cut off. Many passages talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And Philip began to talk to him about those passages. And you know what? He began to open the mind. The Lord began to open the mind and the heart of this Ethiopian. He had been searching for the Lord. The Ethiopian was a proselyte of Judaism. Like I said before, he traveled 200 miles north to worship God. And now he was seeking him through the scripture. And very possibly he may have asked God for help. And you know what? God spoke to him. God spoke to him. We learned that God spoke to another man named Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and we won't turn there. We learned that this was a man that was seeking after God's heart. And the Lord led Peter to him. What is the book of Jeremiah saying about those who seek after him? You know what it says. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. I love this Ethiopian, and I love to see people who are seeking after the Lord. That's how we are always to have a heart that is seeking after the Lord, to seek to be close to Him, to be like Him. Here, the Ethiopian is seeking God, to know Him. In Jeremiah chapter 29, look at verse 10. In Jeremiah chapter 29, the Lord is talking to the southern kingdom of Israel. And we learn in Jeremiah chapter 29 that God had allowed Israel, the southern kingdom, to be taken into Babylon because of their sin. And God was chastising them. And He was going to chastise them for 70 years. But He says, I'm going to bring you back home. Listen to what it says here, verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. And I love these words He says to them. For I know what? I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, because their hearts will be right after they go through chastisement. And you will seek me and find me when? When you search for me with all your heart. He says, I will be found by you. And you know, we look at this passage and historically, we see it's talking to the southern kingdom, but the principles are the same. This is how God wants us to seek after Him, with a sincere heart, and seek with Him with all our heart. God doesn't want to be a byproduct in your life. He doesn't want to be a side, a side dish. He wants to make sure that you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants to be the love of your life. That's the greatest commandment. And we learn through Psalm 42, this altar, let me read that to you. In Psalm 42, I read this just to remind myself of how I am supposed to seek after God. In Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5. We are to seek the Lord. And here is a passage when the children of Israel have been taken captive. And they are mourning because they've been taken away from the temple. Listen to what Psalm 42 says. Psalm 42 verse 1 says, as a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants what? So pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. With the multitude that kept a pilgrim priest. He's thinking about the good old days. But right now, Israel is going through chastisement. And he's longing to go to the temple of God. Verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. I look at this passage to remind me of how I'm supposed to thirst and hunger for God. Do you thirst and do you hunger for the Lord? This is how we're to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need You. I need You, God, to speak to my heart. I need You, Lord, to change me, the bad habits in my life. Lord, I need You to change the affections of my heart from the things that are displeasing to You to the things that honor You. Oh, we need God to change us, don't we? And we need to be like the deer that pants, that literally thirsts for God, that hungers for God. My question to you is, are you still seeking God today? Do you remember the days when you were young in your faith and you just couldn't get enough of the Word? You just had to read the Word of God and you couldn't get enough preaching? It's like, man, I want more. Give me more. Oh, may God give us that same heart. That we may continue to read the Word of God with an open heart, asking God to speak to us. May we hunger and may we thirst for God. May we continue to be like newborn babes, desiring the pure milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. May God continually help us. Sometimes we take the Word of God for granted, you know. And then every week, gotta get ready for church. When we should be reading every single day in the Word of God, hungering and thirsting for God. You know, we're just hurting ourselves when we don't read the Word. We're hurting ourselves when we're not in prayer. We're hurting ourselves when we're not in fellowship. We're just hurting ourselves. We need the Lord, don't we? We need to be like this deer. We need to seek after God. And hopefully we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to know You. I want to know You more, God. I want to know You more intimately. I want to know You better. Are you still seeking the Lord today? Are you still thirsting and hungry for His presence? I hope you are. Now, we're so blessed in this country. Most of us have maybe four or five Bibles at home, you know. Well, there are countries, there are people and languages that don't even have one Bible. You just hear those missionary stories, you know, from Wycliffe, where they finally translates someone's native tongue into the New Testament. And man, let me tell you, they read it so fast. They read it so quickly, and they're so thankful. We take God's Word for granted, beloved. And we need to be so thankful for it. We need to meditate on it. We need to memorize it. Go back with me to the book of Acts. So we see that the Lord gave direction to Philip. What a blessing it was to now share with this man the gospel of Christ. We see this sincere seeker of God. And he was seeking God with all his heart. He traveled many miles to go into worship, and he bought the Greek translation of Isaiah and began to seek after God, and God sent him a messenger, and that was Philip. And did this man get saved? Let me tell you something. This man couldn't wait to start following Jesus. He couldn't wait. It was like, just tell me where to run. You know, just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do that. I mean, this man was on fire. And I hope that you have that same fire, beloved. Like, Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, wherever you want me to go, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. I hope that you're so in love with the Lord. And that was this man. And we see here in verses 36 to 40, go with me there. So we learn that Philip in 35, he opened his mouth, he began to preach Jesus. I'm sure he began to preach repentance of his sin, to trust in Christ and Him crucified, buried and resurrected. And this man, if he's sincere about committing himself to Christ, he needed to show that in a public display through baptism. And so we learn as Peter is sharing with them these things of the Lord, like in verse 36. And as they went down the road, they came to some water. Now, we don't know exactly where this is at. Some say it's the old Gaza. Some say it's the new Gaza. We don't know. That's not important. What is important is that this man was so on fire, he's ready to obey Jesus right now. And so he said, look, there's water. And the eunuch said to him, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip, I want to be baptized right now. Right now, I want to obey the Lord. And so Philip looks at him like, man, this guy can't wait to the next city. There's just some little puddle over here. It looks kind of muddy, but he wants to be baptized. Okay. They have to understand the man has his whole entourage. So he's doing it publicly. So they go down to the water. Look at verse 37. Now, verse 37, you have to understand the old manuscripts, Alexandrian manuscript and others, they don't have this verse. They believe this, you know, this was put in there to just clarify things. Many times scribes write things to clarify things. Verse 37 says, and Peter said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. It's like the word raptura, rapture. He raptured Philip, you know. Snatched him away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. In other words, his job was done there. And the eunuch, how did he behave? He was rejoicing. He was on fire. Verse 4, he says, and Philip found himself in Azotus, which was Ashdod, the old Ashdod from the Philippines, one of the five major cities. 30 miles away, by the way. And passing through, you know, Philip, he was one evangelistic machine. He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. That man was on fire. But I want you to see that this eunuch, the evidence of genuine faith, beloved, is a heart that wants to obey God. Why? Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. The evidence of a genuine conversion, a person that's truly saved, is they want to obey the Lord. And this man was like, I am ready right now. Just get baptized. And so Philip says, okay, you ready? Just go for it. Go with me to Mark chapter 5, would you? I want you to see another fired up soul. In Mark chapter 5, remember the demoniac? Remember that guy? Oh man, that guy was in the living hell. He had all these demons called Legion. Mark chapter 5, verse 18, remember that? And we learned that he ran up to Jesus, as the Bible says, that he was cutting himself, and they put chains on him, and he broke the chains. He had no clothes on him, kept attacking different people. No one could control this guy. And so when Jesus arrives on the shore, he runs up to Jesus, probably thinking he's going to attack, but he realizes, probably through the demons, that this is a son of the living God. Maybe this man knew he was God and ran up to him to be free. And we learn in Mark chapter 5, verse 18, that the Lord set this man free. And that man had peace. And he came to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. In Mark chapter 5, verse 18, listen to what it says. And when he got into the boat, talking about Jesus, he was ready to leave. It says he, the demoniac, who had been demon-possessed, begged Jesus, begged him, that he might what? That he might be with him. Lord, don't leave me. I'll go wherever you go. Let me follow you, Lord. But that wasn't part of God's plan. God's plan was to have his disciples. So what does he say to this man? However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him, go home. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. And what did this man do? That's exactly what he did. He obeyed the commandment of Christ and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis and all that Jesus had done for him. And what happened? They all marveled. He was giving glory to Christ. That's exactly what happened with the Ethiopian. God sent Philip to share the gospel, and now God says to the Ethiopian, go home now! Go home and tell the wonderful things that God has done for you. And you know what? He did. According to church tradition, the man went home, fired up, shared even with the queen. It's believed that the queen even got saved. Started a church down there in Ethiopia. What a wonderful, wonderful time that is. This man had a desire to follow the Lord. Another evidence of true salvation is that people want to follow the Lord. Go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. It just amazes me when I run into folks and they say, I'm a Christian. Really? Are you living for the Lord? Well, no, I'm not doing that. What kind of Christian are you? See, that's just religious. That's just being religious. They're not following the Lord. They're not serving the Lord. They're not living for Christ. That's not a true conversion if they're not doing that. Listen to what it says in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 22. What does Jesus say about his sheep? He says now in verse 22 of John 10, now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long will you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because what? You're not my sheep, as I said to you. Now listen very carefully what he says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And what do? And they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Double negative in the Greek. Strongest negative you can have, and he has eternity connected to it. They shall never perish, not for all eternity. Literally is what he's saying. They shall never perish. Talk about the perseverance of the saints, right? Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, I want you to pay attention to what he says. My sheep hear my voice. And what do? They follow me. It just amazes me. I run into people and they're not following Jesus. They're not following him. They're not listening to his voice. They're not living for him. I'm thinking, what kind of Christian are you? Beloved, don't be that type of a person. If you are claiming to be a Christian, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, you're to live for Christ. You're to serve Christ. That's the only way to live. That's the only life of a Christian. So we need to understand that what it means to to be saved. We repent. We're no longer serving ourselves, living for ourselves, but we've been bought with the price, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We belong to Him. We are His. Whether we live, we are His, or whether we die, we are the Lord's. This is why we exist. It's for the Lord. Now, does that mean we shouldn't have jobs, we shouldn't go to school? No, not at all. But understand to whom you belong. Understand that. I remember this one professor. His name was Professor McDougall. And he had a father, a godly father, loved the Lord. And he was going to go out to spend some time with his buddies. You know, he was a teenager. And his mother would say something that would just ruin all of his fun. Before he would go out the kitchen door, she would just say to him, "Son, just remember just remember whose son you are." And he would be like, "Oh." And what he shared with us was this. He says, "I'm not sure what my mother meant, whether it meant my dad or the Lord. But either one," he says, "I was so convicted." Just remember whose son or whose daughter you are. And whom you represent. You represent the Lord. You are His. You've been bought with that precious blood of Christ. You're to live for Christ. Serve the Lord. Live for the Lord. But don't straddle the fence. Don't straddle the fence. The evidence of true salvation is knowing, loving the Lord, and following Him. That simply means obeying Him. Obey Him. Follow Him. Can you honestly say, "Pastor, I'm following Jesus. I'm obeying the Lord. I'm seeking the Lord." You know, we can learn from this man, can't we? The way he sought after God, the way he traveled. Oh, I hope that God makes us like that deer, you know, that we pant after the Lord. "Lord, I just can't get enough." You know, it's like being in love. I like to embarrass my wife many times. I just couldn't spend enough time, enough hours in the day. That the day will fly so fast. You know, when we were engaged. And then they had to say goodbye. And I was like, "Oh. Oh, I pray that you just fall in love with the Lord. He is so worthy of our love, our affection. Seeking the Lord." There's that favorite song, right? That old song, "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus." No turning back. There's no turning back. That's how we need to live, beloved. We have to follow the Lord. Now, you might be a Christian and you have given your life to Christ, but you need to make that active or that conscious decision. That conscious decision, "I'm going to live for Christ." Sometimes we haven't made that conscious decision. You might say, "Well, I want salvation. I want the Lord to save me." But I haven't made that conscious decision where I've completely surrendered, where I'm living for Christ and His glory. For the Lord and His glory. That's a whole different mindset. All different mindset. John MacArthur said his life changed as a Christian. I mean, think about this. He said, "My life changed as a Christian when I consciously decided that I was going to live for the glory of God." And you know what? Your life will change too. Make that conscious decision to live for God's glory and God's praise. And you know what? Something's going to happen. You're going to find that that's how life is meant to be lived. For God's glory. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're just so thankful for Your precious word. We're so thankful, dear Father, for our Lord Jesus. What a perfect example He is. One that came to die. As a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone if it does not die. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Lord, the Christian life is to die to ourselves. To die to ourselves, Lord. And to live for Jesus Christ. Help us to remember this truth. Bless us, Lord. Please prepare our hearts for the communion, for the cup, and for the bread. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you, dear God, for sending Jesus. Thank you for our hope and our joy and our Savior. Bless us now, we pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.